Turn to the book of Job, chapter 32, and also the 19th Psalm. To continue our thought about today from this morning, in Job 32 in verse 7. These are the words of Elihu. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. In Psalm 19, verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. I want to begin by viewing the context of both of these verses. In Job chapter 32, again, these are the words of Elihu. Following the tragic events in Job's life, Job is sitting amongst the ashes. He's grieving. Three of his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they come. Chapter 2 and verse 11. It says that they came to mourn with him and to comfort him. We read in chapter 2 and verse 12, they sat down with him upon the ground. So we get a picture in our minds. They did this for 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him. Now they sat there longer than 7 days and nights, but they sat there in silence for 7 days and 7 nights. The reason they sat there silently was for they saw that his grief was very great. In other words, they really didn't have anything to say to him. In chapter 3, Job speaks. He breaks the silence, which would be the beginning of a discourse between Job and his three friends. That is recorded in chapters 4 through chapter 31. All of those chapters record the conversation that is taking place between Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. So, the gist of the conversation was this. They would accuse Job of some sin in his life, saying that this was the reason that all these things had befallen him. And then Job would defend himself, proclaiming his innocence. Now read Job 32 and verse 1. So these three men, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. That is, they saw they were getting nowhere, so they ceased. As the discourse was going on between Job and his three friends, there's another man there by the name of Elihu. And as he sat there and listened, he became disgusted with Job. Notice verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. So he became disgusted with Job. But he also became disgusted with Job's three friends. Notice verse 3. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. That is, they had nothing to base their condemnation of Job upon. So, here's Elihu. He sat silent through all the discussion. And then when Job was done speaking, Job was the last one to speak, and that's recorded in chapters 26 through chapter 31. So after Job is done speaking, there's no answer from the others. Verses 4 and 5, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken. And the reason was because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And then Elihu speaks, verse 6. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, a Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. So, he begins by explaining why he sat silent. Because you're older than I am. And I thought that you would have something to say. Verse 7, I said, that is, I said to myself as you all were speaking, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. So he's saying, I've been quiet because Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar have had many more days than I have had. So I figured that you would have more wisdom and that you would have something worthwhile to say. We see his conclusion in verse 9. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. So he came to this conclusion after listening to all of this, that just because you've lived a great amount of days doesn't make you wise. Doesn't make you mature. We need to remember that truth. Elihu then introduces himself, begins to talk about himself in verses 6 through 22, and then he speaks, and what he says is recorded there in chapter 33 and 34. He talks about how God speaks. He talks about that God is just, that God is sovereign. As you look at what Elihu said, even though he had less days than the other three, he was far more spiritual than they were. So that's the context of Job 32 and verse 7. In Psalm 19, the context is said in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And then in verses 2 and 3, days and nights are presented as pouring out or welling over with speech filled with praise to God. So he says, the heavens above, they declare the glory of God. And he says, and all the days do the same. They declare the glory of God. Every day that passes, every single day that we have, declares the glory of God and points to God. So we have the context of these two text verses. And from our text verses, we want to realize two truths concerning days. In Psalm 19, days have a voice. They speak. They speak. In Job 32, the number of our days should teach us. That is, we ought to learn something from the days that we live. So we want to make application of these two truths. The days speak, and we ought to learn from them. The subject is advancing in the school of today. Every today is a school. It is a place, and it is a time to learn. It is a place and a time of opportunity and potential. But view every day as a school, as a learning opportunity. And we want to look at just some general thoughts about our days. It's where we'll begin. Again, each one of our lives have consisted of a certain amount of today's. And if we continue to live past today, we will have another today. And if we live past that time, we will have another today. So however many todays that we have already had, we have lived those todays. We've already spent them. They're gone. We've already spent those todays. And however many more todays that we will have, we will live those todays also. The truth about a today is you have to live. If God gives you a today, you have to live that today. However you choose to live it, you still have to live that today. So however many more todays we have, we will live. Now in Genesis chapter 5, we have a genealogy. And notice if you go there. Genesis, man, I need a new Bible. My pages are falling out. Genesis chapter 5. There's a phrase that occurs throughout this genealogy. All the days of, followed by a name. Genesis 5 verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Notice, it starts with all the days. And the days turned into what? Years. Verse 9, or verse 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Again, it begins with days, ends in years. You'll see the same phrase, to save time, we'll just mention it, verse 14, verse 17, verse 20, verse 23, verse 27, and verse 31. And all the days of so-and-so were, and then it mentions years. Keep in mind, we get in a habit of living our todays. And eventually, those todays turn into a year. And eventually, they turn into many years. And eventually, it's a life. So we need to remember that. Again, the importance of a today. We also read all the days of that phrase throughout the Word of God. David in Psalm 23:6 and Psalm 27 and verse 4, he said, all the days of my life. All the days of my life. We will live all the days of our life. We read in Isaiah 38 verse 20, all the days of our life. Again, we will live all our todays. We live our lives in today. Now, some may get stuck in the past, but they live that way today. Even if you get stuck in the past, you still got to live today. So if you get stuck in the past, that is how you live your today. Some are also anxious about tomorrow, and they will live that way today. You can only live today. You can't live tomorrow. You can't live yesterday. You can only live today. So again, the number of our todays has been predetermined by God. We will not live beyond that number. And we will live all the days that have been determined by God. Again, since I came forth from my mother's womb, this is my 22,873rd today. There's a program on the computer, you can figure that out. Count sleep year, everything. I've lived every one of them. Don't even remember them all. But I've lived every one of them. And I've done something with every single one of them. And again, eventually you have enough days where it can be said that you are old and full of days. It was said of Isaac in Genesis 23 and verse 59 that he was old and full of days. It was also said of David, the same thing, and of Solomon and Jehoiada. And Job said that he was old and full of days. So eventually you live enough todays and you become old and full of days. Keep in mind, our todays are school. It's a school. Full of days. That should mean that we're full of learning, that we've learned spiritually. So eventually, you live enough days, you become old and full of days. What's important, though, is not how full of days we are. What's important is how we fill our days. That's what's important. How we spend those todays. David said in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young, and now am old. That means he's had a lot of todays. The truth is, today, we're the oldest we've ever been. We've never been older than what we are today. Never have. If we live another, if God gives us another today, we'll even be older. And throughout the Bible, we read of some of the physical aspects of old age. The grain of hair. We read in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 2, Samuel said, I am old and gray-headed. We read of blindness due to age. Genesis 27 verse 1, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. And in Genesis 48 and verse 10, now the eyes of Israel, or Jacob, were dim for age, so that he could not see. We read of feebleness due to aging. In Joshua 23 and verse 1, Joshua waxed or advanced and stricken in age. He became feeble. In 1 Kings 1 and verse 1, now King David was old and stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. He was always cold. Psalm 71 and verse 9, the psalmist said, the time of old age, when my strength faileth. So there are many things said about old age. And there's many physical infirmities that come about due to age. But that's really not what matters. It doesn't really matter in the big picture if I become feeble, if you become feeble. In the big picture, it's really not what it's about. What it's about is, what have we done with our debt todays? That's what it's all about. We read of Abraham in Genesis 15, in verse 15. and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. That phrase strikes me, a good old age. It doesn't merely say thou shalt be buried in old age, but thou shalt be buried in a good old age. I believe that means that Abraham was one who lived his life right. He lived his todays right. He spent his todays right. And we read in Genesis 25 and verse 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. The words old age, of course, signify length, signify a long life. The word good, though, signifies the quality of his life all the way through old age. A good old age. So, the quality of life has more to do with virtue and righteousness than the quality of our physical life. What is important is, again, not how old we are, but have we grown old? People talk about growing old. The truth is, most people shouldn't say that because they haven't grown old, they've become old. Big difference. We ought to grow old. Our todays are schools, and we ought to be learning, we ought to be growing. So we ought to grow old. Not just become old, but to grow spiritually old. So now let's look at our todays. Again, we've all lived a certain amount of todays. We want to consider those by personal examination, which should challenge and motivate us concerning our remaining todays. Every today is a school. In that school are invaluable lessons and reminders. You know, when I was in school, I didn't learn much. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't because I was dumb. It was because I wasn't interested. It was because I had better things to do. I had other interests. Sadly, that is true of many concerning their todays. They don't pay attention. And they don't learn. Not because they're dumb, but because they're not interested. They have other interests. There are other things more interesting than spiritual things. There are other things more important than the voice of God. So they don't learn. They don't learn. They go through their today just like I went through school. Just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. Not really getting much of anything out of it. But every today is filled with invaluable lessons. And most of those lessons are taught over and over and over and over again. Every today declares the lesson that God is sovereign. Every single today declares that. Every morning when the sun comes up, that is a declaration, God is sovereign. And when that sun sets, same thing. Every today declares the lesson that God is sovereign. Every today declares the lesson that God is almighty, that God is wise, that God is loving, that God is merciful. Every today declares the lesson of the goodness of God. Every single today I've had, there has been the lesson of the goodness of God. Every single today. Every today declares the faithfulness of God. Declares the sufficiency and the abundance of the Lord. And every today declares my need of God. Every single today declares that we are needy people. That we need God. Every day declares that. That's lessons that we ought to be learning every single day. Every today declares the lesson that I am frail, that I am weak. Every today declares the lesson of the frailty and weakness of man. Every today declares the lesson of the passing of the temporal. That everything in this life passes away, ceases to exist. Every today declares the lesson of the shortness of life. So consider all the todays that you have had. These lessons have been repeated over and over and over. God is sovereign. Have we learned that lesson? Are we learning it more and more and more every day? God is sufficient. God is abundant. I am needy. We've been presented these lessons every today of our life. Have we learned them? You know, sometimes when someone, they kind of want to tell you how mature they are because they're a certain age. And I want to say many times, I never have and I never will. Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You've lived that many days and this is as far as you've gotten? It looks to me that you've gotten a lot further than that. That's true of all of us. We've lived all these todays, and how far have we really gotten? Again, I've been saved 16,299 days. And every one of those todays, God has been teaching. Every one of those todays is a school. Every single one of them. You would think 16,299 days in the school of God, you learned something. But many haven't. Many haven't. Sometimes you just got to shake your head and think, what in the world? Haven't you learned anything? And I'm sure people look at me and say the same thing. However many todays you have had, God has taught us. God's lessons have been proclaimed. How well have we learned those lessons? Well, that question is answered by how we live our today. That's how that you can honestly answer that question. If we live our today fretting, that's our general life, we haven't learned much then about the sovereignty of God, have we? If we live our days in pride, why, all those years haven't taught us much about our need. I mean, if we've lived this many days, oh, how humble we ought to be. If we've really learned from our todays. You know, it's been said, nothing like an old fool. That's true. I mean, you can give a little slack to someone who's young. But I mean, you get up, you're 60, 70, 80 years old. and you're still doing the same foolish things, that doesn't say much. You're still in the same rut that you've been in for the last 40 years. It doesn't say much. So those individuals, they can talk all they want to. I've been saved 50 years. I've been saved 60 years. That ought to shame them. It truly ought to shame them. That this is as far as they've gotten. In all my todays, the lesson has been presented over and over and over and over again. Do not trust yourself. That lesson has been drilled into our heads. We've been given illustration upon illustration, example upon example, why we should not trust in ourselves. And here comes a new today, and what do? Trust in ourselves. All of our todays, there's the lesson, do not put confidence in man. Trust in God. And we have all of these todays. And this lesson has been declared, every single one of them. Trust in God. Trust in God. Have we learned that lesson? With each today, I should be having less and less confidence in self and more confidence in God with each today. With each today, I should be trusting less and less in myself and more in God. In my todays, there has been the lesson repeated over and over and over again, shown to us by illustration and example, not to depend upon appearances, but depend upon God. And yet how often we judge everything by appearance and do not depend upon God. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, have I learned anything? Have I learned anything? In each today, I should be depending more and more upon Him. In my todays, especially since we've been saved, we have been taught the lesson over and over and over, wait upon God. 16,299 days I should have learned by now to wait upon God. And what a shame if I haven't. All of those days, we ought to have learned to wait upon God. With each today, God should be more and more my life. Not less, but more and more. Notice in Psalm 37, these lessons are taught us, have been taught us all our days since we've been saved. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 9. We're not going to read those verses, just point out very obvious words. Verse 1, fret not. How many days have we been taught that? Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. How many todays have we been taught that? Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. How many todays have we been taught that? Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. How many todays have we been taught that? Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. How many todays have we been presented that lesson? Verse 8, cease from anger. Cease from anger. And yet people carry anger over from yesterday to their next today, to their next today, to their next today, till pretty soon they've got years. But every day we're taught, cease forsake wrath. Verse 9, wait upon the Lord. But the question is, how well have we learned these lessons? How well have we learned these lessons? We've been taught them over and over and over again. And Elihu made this statement, Job 32 and 7, multitude of years. By the way, that's a lot of today's. Multitude of years should teach wisdom. By multitude of today's, we should have wisdom. Wisdom, there's two kinds of wisdom, according to the book of James. There's earthly wisdom, which isn't going to do you a whole lot of good. And there's spiritual wisdom. And they're worlds apart. When the Bible speaks of wisdom, it's talking about spiritual wisdom. What is spiritual wisdom? Well, it's basically to be in agreement with God. The more you are in agreement with God, the more you live your life in agreement to God, the wiser you are. It's agreement with God. It's to view matters with a spiritual perspective. It's to view matters through the lens of God. That's wisdom. And all of our todays, by now, we should have acquired some wisdom. Each of our todays, we ought to be more and more in agreement with God. Seeing things less and less through our own skewed vision and reasoning. And viewing things more and more through the vision of thus saith the Lord. Have our days taught us wisdom? Have they brought us wisdom? In considering our todays, think of the potential and opportunities. Again, just consider your today since you've been saved. Think of all the opportunities of those todays. Think of all the potential of those todays. In considering such, we're made to think of where I am today. Think about where you are today. But then think about where we should be, or where we could be. Is there any of us where we could be today? I don't think so. I don't think we're even close. None of us. Can you imagine if we took just double the opportunities that we've had in our spiritual life than what we have taken, where we would be? None of us are where we could be. Think of all our todays in salvation. And in all of those todays, I've had the privilege, the opportunity, to learn more about Him. To learn more about Him. So where are we today? In our knowledge of God. Perhaps more importantly, where could we be in our knowledge of God? In all of our todays, we've had the privilege and opportunity to personally experience the Lord. Have I personally experienced, personally aware of God in my life every single today that I've had since I've been saved? No. I'd be much further along if I had. But all of our todays brings us the opportunity to personally experience Him. In all of our todays, we've had the opportunity to be more like Him. Imagine how God-like we'd be if we took all of those opportunities. Oh, how far short we come. Our todays should greatly humble us. How in the world someone can live many todays and be proud? How shameful. We ought to be getting more and more humble each today because we see how far short we have fallen. Every one of our todays since we've been saved, we can drink more fully into His love and to show forth that love more clearly. But where are we? In each one of those todays, we've had the opportunity to draw closer to Him, to lean more heavily upon Him. So how close are we today? How heavily do we lean upon Him today? In each one of those todays, we've had the opportunity to feed upon this book. $16,299 that I've had the opportunity to feed in the Word of God. What a blessed opportunity to enter more deeply into the treasure chest of God's Word. So I've got to ask, to what extent is our today marked by this book? With each today, since we've been saved, we've had the opportunity to advance spiritually. With that in mind, where are we spiritually? Where are we? With each today, we've had the opportunity to praise Him, to thank Him, to worship Him. You get enough todays doing that, guess what? It's what you do. It's just what you do. It's not something you have to work on. Think of all the Sabbath todays that we have had. Sabbath days, the Lord's Day, is the best day. It's the best today you can have. We've had many. When the psalmist said, "Rejoice, this is the day the Lord hath made, rejoice and be glad in it," he's talking about the Sabbath. It's a special day. It's the greatest of all todays. How many of those Sabbath todays have we had? How many of those Sabbath todays we've come to the church of the house of God unprepared? Got nothing. People can say, "Oh, I've gone to church all my life." Well, I suppose that's good, but not necessarily. I guess it's better than going somewhere else. But what'd you get out of it? What have you got to show for it? Well, I've been in Sunday school and church for 30 years. And that's all you have? 30 years? 40 years? 50 years? And that's our life? That's all we have? Seems to me there should be so much more. Once again, oh, how humble we ought to be, considering all of our todays. So in considering, in closing, the amount of our todays, where ought we to be? Where ought we to be? Again, I suppose if we dwell upon this too much, it can be discouraging. But rather than be discouraged, today is a new day. And if God grants us another today, that's a new day. That's a fresh start. Don't carry discouragement over into today, because you'll ruin your today. Don't carry bitterness and anger and whatever over into today, because that guarantees that you're going to ruin today. And that's what people do. They're guaranteed to ruin almost every one of their todays, because they've never learned. They've never learned. They've never learned what it's about. It's not about my feelings. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And we need to approach every single today knowing that this today is about Him. It's not about whether I get my feelings hurt. It's about Him. And we cannot lose sight of what a today is about. Now, we live in what is known as the last days. That is, the whole world is being prepared for the reign of the Antichrist. And living in these last days, you would certainly think that God's people would realize that I don't have time to concern myself with the trivial. I don't have time to concern myself with all the pettiness. These are the last days. And I need to know what it's all about. It's about Him. And this may be the last today that I have. Do I want to spend my last today being angry with somebody who I think has done me wrong? Is that how I want to spend my last today? I don't think so. Do I want to spend my last today exchanging the spiritual for the temporal? I don't think so. And since we do not know when our last today is, we need to live every today as if it is our last today. Because it might be. But God's people, it's really shameful. And I speak of myself also. It's shameful that we have lived so many todays. And what's shameful is, if God grants us another today, we'll probably live it just like we did the others. And many times, it's all wrong. It's all backwards. It's all upside down. And pretty soon, those todays turn into 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And pretty soon, you're old. You're old. And people say, oh, it went so fast, as if they're shocked. You're going to get old if you live long enough. But you ought to grow old. We ought to be growing spiritually. So God help us to grow. To grow old. Husbands and wives, to grow old together, not to become old together, to grow old together. Big difference. What are we doing with our todays? What have you done with today? At the end of this today, God may grant you another today. And if He does, that is a gift from God. That is a gift from God. That is an opportunity. That is a privilege. God help us not to misspend something as valuable as a today. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.